We're very pleased at this time to be joined by Mark Shapiro. He is president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. Mark, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Jeff, good to be with you guys.
The last time you were on, we talked about, or you talked about sort of using 40 games as a point of reflection. Those are my words, a point of reflection. What words would you to describe this team now that we've played 43 games?
Disappointing. I mean, I think we share across the board, whether it's, you know, the players, the coaching staff, the manager, or the front office. It's not hard to think about last year, to think about how we left spring training, where we are now. And there's both a sense of urgency as well as a sense of disappointment to how we play today.
Is there anything, Mark, in your previous experience, you got any parallels with this? Because it is a puzzling, you know, it's not just been a disappointing start, it's been a puzzling start in a lot of ways when you look at that, who's on that lineup card.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone through periods where very talented teams have had prolonged slumps and they've done it together. Obviously, when you start a season like this, Stephen, it's amplified. It really draws so much attention to it. And I think sometimes it can be counterproductive because guys feel such a heightened sense of awareness for the magnitude of challenges. But, yeah, no, we've got, I think what makes this so concerning or so disappointing is also probably what, should give us some comfort in that there's great track records, you know, with most of our hitters across the board, certainly most of the ones that are struggling. And beyond that, you know, this is a group that has had, you know, adversity and challenges and demonstrated toughness in overcoming those things in the past as well. So I don't want to downplay, you know, the level of disappointment. I don't want to diminish our sense of urgency. But there also should be some comfort placed in the fact that these guys are proven major league hitters and they're likely to progress to the mean at some point.
Mark, the last time you were on, we talked specifically about some of the issues in the bullpen, some of the other issues around the team, and you essentially said you thought the answers had to come from within. Clearly, when you're talking about this lineup, you're talking about a track record, and I think, not to put words in your mouth, but I think you're kind of saying that again. What could happen that would force you into the trade market? You know, bearing in mind that the minor league system was tapped pretty extensively last season by your predecessor.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, listen, we are already spending time and energy on those things. I mean, a front office's job is to examine all the scenarios and all the alternatives. So Ross and his guys are exhausted, whether they're small adjustments or, you know, whether they're, you know, trades of bigger magnitude. Those are conversations that we're having every single day. That being said, I think this club was built to win now. It was built around offense. While our bullpen has had some very high leverage situations where they've had some failures, I think all of us feel that with the level of starting that we've had by and large, and even with the bullpen and some of the disappointments there, you know, we would be at the top or fighting for the top of the division if our offense was performing to even close to expectations. So, I think you've got to be careful to react too quickly. You've got to, you know, look over the long haul of careers and look at the work being done. And believe me when I tell you, these guys are both searching from a fundamental standpoint, mechanically to, preparation and routines. And we're looking objectively and analytically at any potential solutions we can find to help. And we're working together to try to get better. And under the leadership of Gibby, who's been extremely strong.
Well, you brought Gibby up, so let's talk about that. The roster, this team was built to win this year, is built to win this year. You don't have a ton of flexibility in terms of players pushing up from the minor league system who might take jobs in the majors. You don't have a lot of guys who are in that position. Devin Travis will be around soon, but you know, the team is kind of what it is. So if the imperative is to win this year and you have an underachieving team and it's going to be hard to shake up the roster and it's a tough time of year to be making deals, the focus is naturally going to come down on the manager, fairly or unfairly. So, you know, is John Gibbons your manager for this year? Is there a circumstance under which you would make a managerial change? It happens, right? And you've been through it in Cleveland, Mark, so you know the drill.
I think it's fair to point that out because what happens in our game, a disproportionate amount of focus gets put on a manager or sometimes a coach. That's simply because changing out 12 players, changing out six players is never a reality, regardless of how deep your farm system is or how big your budget is. And so a lot of times, you know, those changes are made more to satisfy the beast, you know, than they are to necessarily get results. I can tell you this, that, you know, for both speaking for both Ross and myself, to spend time around Gibby is to be incredibly confident in his leadership and to recognize that he's part of the solution. And that's how we feel. You know, we feel he's a guy that is consistent. He is strong. He is tough. He is committed. And I feel like he is the right guy to help guide us through the challenges that we're facing right now. So, you know, I think that's the best way to characterize how we feel about that potential change and about his leadership.
Would you foresee any changes in the coaching staff if things don't turn around?
I guess, again, Jeff, the best thing I'd say is those are not conversations with folks. And we are staying solution-focused right now, which is how do we take the group of people in place here who just a very short time ago, just 25% of a season ago, were, you know, leading this team and leading these players to, you know, championship success. And how do we figure out how to dig ourselves out of the small hole we're in right now and get back to the way we're accustomed to playing.
Mark, what does it tell you about this clubhouse and this group of players that they would, as we have been led to believe, you know, approach the manager on their own and kind of suggest, you know, that rejigged lineup that we saw last night?
Well, I think it will give fans a window and some insight into what has been remarkable for me to see, which is this is a group of guys who are thinking about it. They care about it. It's not the standard big league team where, you know, the game ends, these guys shower and they're out of there in 30 minutes and go their separate ways. These guys sit around talking about it. You know, spring training was amazing for me. I think you probably heard all of us talking about it and just how long they spent in the cage and talking about hitting, coaching each other. So when you go through adversity like this, you know, I think it's, you know, what you're seeing is guys are thinking, how do we get better? How can we get out of this? You know, where are the potential solutions? Not only in their own performances, but, you know, in things, you know, like team construct and lineup construct. So, you know, I'm not surprised. I think that does give fans good insight into the way these guys go about their business.
At what point, Mark, do you have to make a call on what a team is? You know, especially we've talked about the Bartolo Colon trade that you made in Cleveland. You had to make a call on where that team was headed when it looked like a contender, sort of, right? It was kind of, they were still in it, but you had to make a call realistically about what it was. This is a team that you know, contractual realities will dictate that this team is going to turn over a considerable amount going into 2017. You have some guys at the end of contracts. You have a depleted farm system. Because of the deals that were made last year. But, you know, there's, again, you also have a team that is built to win. And, you know, you might still find a way to add in July if that was the case. I'm not sure where you'd find the assets, but you could do it. But when do you have to make that call in your position saying, honestly, objectively, this is what this team is and this is the direction in which we have to go?
Hey, that's a great question, Stephen. I think there's no patented answer. I mean, I think if anything, while I tend to be a guy that moves more quickly than slowly, if anything, I'm looking at last year and a team that after 101 games was one game above 500, and it's really difficult to react too quickly because I think the talent potential is here for them to go on a run at any point in time. I'm not suggesting that we'd wait that long again, but I think you look at a series of variables around every decision. You certainly look at your competition, how good they are, how you expect them to play, not just within the division, but for the wild card. You look at your team and where you expect the potential improvement to come from and what the reasons are objectively and from a human perspective for them to improve and progress and to get back in things. And then you look at your overall situation and status, you know, where you are and, as you've mentioned, in kind of your opportunity to win. And, you know, seeing how special it was here last year, how it impacted not just an organization, but not just a city, but a country, you know, I'm going to be, you know, fairly slow to act and give every opportunity for this team, because you want this window to stay open. You don't want this to have just been one short run at success. And so I think the imperative that we feel as a front office, as an organization, is to do everything humanly possible to extend the opportunity to win here.
Hey, Mark, given the way baseball is now, given the market, the way the marketplace is, as we've said, it is really becoming more and more and more a young person's game. Could you even make a Bartolo Colon type of deal in this marketplace?
Well, I mean, those types of deals are not being made anymore to that magnitude. I think, you know, every now and then the Shelby Miller deal last year, obviously John Hart, you know, that's my lineage. I mean, he made a similar trade. So to say never would be a mistake. As you guys know, I don't really believe in absolutes, but there is an awareness of the importance of youth and young talent, in managing a roster and managing a major league team and organization. And there's a greater precision to which, organizations and many front offices can value players. And so when you talk about young players with control and considerable upside, when you talk about, what players mean in terms of wins and not just in one season, but over a spectrum, I think there's a better understanding of what you may be giving up in a trade. And so, yes, it's much more difficult, if not prohibitive, to make trades of that magnitude. It probably takes multiple trades.
Mark, what have you, since taking the job, what have you learned about some of the assets you have in the minor leagues? Again, we've talked about the players who are not there anymore and some of the players who left during for the deals last year. And I know you know who these players are, but having actual, a little more hands-on, maybe a chance to see some of them in person, talk to your people more in-depth about them, what surprised you there? You know, because some of these, we may be talking about these guys as future Blue Jays. We may be talking about them as tradable assets. But in either case, what have you seen there that's kind of surprised you?
Well, I mean, I think there's been, in spring training, I was surprised at the number of prospects and really the way they handled themselves, the level of confidence, the level of determination and perseverance that they had. I think that was extremely impressive. I felt the depth of talent was probably greater than I thought coming in. Not the greatest start, to our minor league season either. So we don't have guys that are kind of, busting down the door saying that they're going to be, on the horizon in a very short time frame. So as has been well chronicled, the bulk of the talent is below the AA level, and the bulk of the talent is, in the lower minor leagues. But there is a depth of talent there that doesn't put us, in the absolute basement of minor league organizations. It just, it's not in the immediate answer to what we need to get done up here.
Mark, how close is Devin Travis to getting back to the majors beyond, I know, just a couple of hours away in Buffalo, geographically or physically? But what's the plan for Devin? Because, in spring training, there were people in the organization who were, it was an odd kind of injury. And anytime you're starting to talk about an injury that involves sort of a, I don't know if genetics is the right word, but kind of a congenital situation, however you want to describe it, there's always kind of a gray area. But now he's in Buffalo. He appears to be swinging the bat pretty well in early stages and all that. What's the timeline for Devin Travis?
Yeah, I'm pretty careful about setting timelines, especially publicly. I guess what I can say is he's made good progress, that we feel good about the path he's on. Remember, this is not just a player going through a rehabilitation, but at some point that rehabilitation merges with spring training. He's got to get, a bulk of the bats underneath him. He still hasn't played back-to-back nine-inning games in the field. So you're going to see him go through, and on a condensed schedule, by the way, but you're still going to see him go through that progression of what a player needs to go to get prepared to play in a major league season. And I think to rush that, both because of injury history and because of youth, I mean, we need to be very cognizant. This is, while a very talented player, it's still a very young player. But I think we'll get a better sense as further and further into his rehabilitation. When he's ready, he is so talented, it's going to be clear to all of us. But we need to make sure he's got a strong foundation to remain healthy underneath him.
So, Mark, you suggested 40 games was the litmus test. So we've checked in with you at 40 games, and I believe during the interview you said you probably wouldn't wait till 101 games to make a call on this roster. So when should we check in again in terms of, you know, what the 2016 Toronto Blue Jays are?
Yeah, we can check in any time. I mean, I'm not going to put any more. I think 40 games has always been kind of my first measurement. Obviously, then you kind of break the season into what the deadlines are, and the calendar gets set for you. And July 31st is clearly, you know, a deadline. Not that you work towards that day, but that, you know, around that day you prepare and you think and you examine alternatives. And our organizational focus will probably largely shift towards the draft over the next 3 weeks and making sure we have we execute and the bulk of our resources and time and energy is spent on ensuring we have a good draft. I mean, I think those first three picks are an opportunity for us. And at the same time, we'll never, you know, move too far away from focusing on the highest leverage in the most important area, but in the big league club. But, we're going to be evaluating. We're going to be offering every assistance and support we can to Gibby and the staff and the players, and trust that they are working hard and that these guys are going to continue to progress and the talent and the track record and the character is gonna come through, Stephen, and we'll examine as we go.
Mark, before we let you run, Brett Cecil, we found out earlier this week, is out for a month. Does that change the equation at all as far as Aaron Sanchez and the bullpen goes?
No, that wouldn't be something that we would factor in Aaron. I mean, I think, again, we're looking at, you know, most importantly, it's a club built around offense. If we get the offense rolling, then we can continue to look at how do we tweak the bullpen. I still feel like it's a bullpen that we're getting a feel for. You saw Joe Biagini pitch in a leverage situation last night and really do a good job. He's been an absolute pleasant surprise. Gavin Floyd has been, you know, among the best late relievers in the American League, which has been a great surprise for us. And Roberto's been as good, you know, as we could have hoped. So we've got three guys that are pitching in the back end, maybe not the three we expected. And Aaron Loop had another good outing last night and felt great. So, you know, hopefully we've got some guys coming on the way that can help us, and hopefully Brett comes back and just drops right in. It certainly does help us explain, you know, some of his struggles, and, mm-hmm. and hopefully when he comes back, he'll be strong and ready to go and be a big addition for us to a bullpen that's a contending bullpen.
Mark, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Enjoy the long weekend.
Thank you.
If you get a long weekend, I don't know, does the president and CEO get a long weekend?
It's these are non-traditional jobs, right? if you're in it for, even if you're at home, you are not experiencing what normal people experience over a long weekend.
Take care, Mark. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys, take care.